This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So understand actually in Islam, in the Quran and Sunnah, the men and women, both are the same thing. Both are slaves of Allah and both are human beings. In being slaves of Allah, there is no difference between men and women. Both are expected to worship Him, both are obliged to worship Him. And when they worship Him, they get the same reward. It is not that if a man says Subhanallah, he gets more reward than if women say Subhanallah. Same reward, same action. So in being slave of Allah, both are the same thing. In being human being, human, both are the same. Quran mentions very clearly that men and women, both are created from the same soul. So men and women, both are same human being, same human, and in the same way, slaves of Allah. So there is no difference in these two aspects. When ibadah comes, slavery to Allah comes, there is no difference between men and women. When humanity comes, there is no difference between men and women. Both of them must worship Allah, and both of them must learn how to worship Allah. And both of them must teach people how to worship Allah. There where Quran says that believing men and women, both are awliya of each other, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Both of them, they command the good and forbid the evil. Quran also said, among you, whether you are male or female, whoever does good deed, they get reward. You worship Allah, whether male or female, you get reward. You command good and forbid evil, whether you male or female, you get your reward. Both are helpers of each other, supporters of each other. In this matter, there is no difference. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for humanity to continue. And to continuation of the human generation, there could be more than one way. One way could have been like trees, that you know you have plants, you know, and trees, and then fruits come every year, and you get more and more fruits. So one way could have been every year or you know or every month, new children are dropped from the heaven, and you know human generation continues. But that actually becomes you know different, you know, like plants and trees. Allah wants us you know different way. So basically, Allah wants people to learn slavery to Allah and ibadah from their ancestors. So He wanted to create a family system to where people are born, they learn how to worship Allah, and then they grow up, then teach their future generation. So this teaching continue, meaning humanity and slavery of Allah both continue in future generation. For that purpose, He made in a family system. And for the family system, out of His wisdom, He made that, you know, there should be father and mother, you know, and you know both of them, they have their own duties. So in the house, there should be father and mother. So, you know, marriage and relation. So for that purpose, He made some differences. So each one of them can play their role. So they are not different, you know, in being human being. They are not different in being slaves of Allah. But the difference only is there for the family purpose. The difference between men and women have been made for the family purpose. Those differences, they are not meant as human being. They are not meant in the ibadah. That's why they don't matter for that. The difference is only for the family purpose. That's why when they're in the family, they're allowed to remain different. So in the house, there'll be man, there'll be woman, there'll be husband, there'll be wife. The difference will remain within family. When they leave the house and they come outside as a human being or as a slaves of Allah, then they should cover their differences. Men have to cover their own difference, and women have to cover their own differences. Then what women have to cover, it is more for another purpose Allah SWT made, but they should cover. They should, men and women both come out from the house as human, as slaves of Allah, they should not come as men and women. That's very important. So for that purpose, since women have more to cover, so Allah SWT, for, you know, when they come in public, He has made obligatory upon the women, they put on jilbab. Yudneena alayhinna min jalabi bihinna. When they put the jilbab, that jilbab makes them eligible to use public space. In public space, men and women both are human beings, but they should be coming as a human being. So they should cover the differences, and then after that, they come as a human being. So try to understand. So when you put the jilbab, that makes women eligible to use public space equally. What public space I mean? To walk on a road. So when there is any road, public road, then men and women both can use them, equally. Public transport, men and women both can use them, riding camel, riding horses, or you know, our buses, our cars, our aeroplane, they can use, you know, equally. Coming to the mosque for prayer, both of them can use, you know, equally. Learning, studying, centers of learning, madrasa, whatever, they can use equally. Coming for shopping, you know, market, shops, they can use properly. As long as they hide the differences. So for the women, when they come out in the jilbab, jilbab makes them eligible to use public space properly. That's why jilbab has been, you know, otherwise jilbab does not make a sense. If after jilbab you need another barrier, then why jilbab? If when women come out and after that still they cannot use public space, they have to make another barrier, then why jilbab? Then basically they have to carry their house everywhere. They basically remain inside the house. The reason jilbab has been in Islam because to make women to use public space. That what we have learned in the Quran, also in Sunnah. There is no single proof in any hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that he advised the women or he asked men to make barrier between men and women while using public space. It never happened. So like when the people used to come to the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no single barrier between men and women. When they used to attend his lectures, there was no barrier between men and women. Women used to have same access as the men. No barrier between men and women. And the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, in all the books of the hadith, so many that the women used to pray just behind the men. Sometime in old days, in Medina, there are some men whose clothes are not appropriate and they can be uncovered when they are going in sajda. The women complained that, you know, sometimes when men go in sajda, their private parts become uncovered in sajda. And the eyes of the women fall upon the private part because they're so close, there's no barrier. Tell me, if this complaint had come in our time, would have made this complaint an excuse to stop women coming to the mosque because your eye falls on the women's part and this and that. Or if we are more generous, we said then actually women should be behind, you know, behind a room. They should not be able to see. But the Prophet ﷺ did not do any of them because both of solutions are basically very harmful. What he said women, when they go in sajda, they remain in sajda until the men have stood up. So then their eyes will not fall on the men's private part. Because if you make another solution, where you make a barrier between men and women, then women will not be able to see the movements of the men. And sometimes imams do mistakes. Imams say Allahu Akbar, and women think it is he has going to stand up, and by mistake he sits. Or he has to sit, and by mistake he stands up. So if there is a barrier, how they will know what is happening? You know, there are so many problems. Barriers may create so many problems. The Prophet ﷺ did not go for any of those solutions. He only said, just, you know, women remain in sajda until men have stood up. Another companion of the Prophet ﷺ, young boy, he narrates and part of the hadith also in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim and other books of the hadith, but details are, I've collected from other places. So there was one tribe, they are not Muslim. And later on they became Muslim. When they became Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ asked them, among all of you, who knows the Quran the best? Then he can be Imam. So people said, nobody knows the Quran as much as this young boy knows. And he said, the reason I knew more, because when the companions used to pass by my tribe, they used to read the Quran, I learned from them even before I became Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, this boy will read the prayer. He said, I did not have proper clothes from a poor family. My father, parents were not rich, so my clothes were not appropriate. So when I used to go in sajda, my private parts used to be uncovered. The women complained to the men, "Waru anna awrata imamikum." Cover from us the private part of your imam. Women are so close, they even can see the imam. Leave the people who are behind the imam, their eyes also can fall on the imam. Because after imam, there are the men, rows of the men. Then women come. It means that women are so close, their eyes also can fall on the imam. So they said, "Waru anna awrata imamikum," cover from us the awra, the private part of your imam. Then the boy said, people of my tribe, they collected money and they bought for me a new cloth. A child gets a new cloth, so happy. He said, I become so happy. I never have been so happy, you know, after Islam by anything. He became happy. This is the solution that Prophet has made. I have studied the history of, you know, female scholars and they're attending the mosque and teaching. I never have come across in any records, whether written, handwritten manuscript or printed word, from the time of the Prophet until very, very late, I never found any evidence that in public space there ever has been any barrier between men in public. Never. No, most. Actually, people used to describe their teachers, how they are, how they look like. It means they're seeing them. They're there, and all the audience are there. The public space, what we assume really is that certainly in Islam, there is modesty, haya, and taqwa, so they're not mixing or touching each other, but still they're using equally. And in Sama'at, the names of all of them are mentioned equally. There's no single indication that whether teachers are separate from the students or students from themselves. At every class, there's so many men, so many women. Actually, sometime Sama'at happened, big books of the hadith are read, and there are few teachers who have got the same isnad, they bring them together, some men, some women. So sometimes teachers also are mixed, some men, some women, all together they sit and the students are listening and you know, record happening and everybody signing and writing down and giving ijazah, men and women both, that I found. So simple thing is, when women use the public space, they must come in jilbab. Jilbab makes them eligible to use public space like the men. So when they travel on aeroplane, when they are on the buses, on the coaches, on the cars, on the roads, in public parks, in the school, in the universities, in the colleges, in workplace, any public space, once they have got jilbab, they are equally eligible to use any public space. Islam never stops. Certainly, when desire comes, the laws are different anyway, even among the men. If desire comes among the men, rules are different. Even the men will not be free to mix with each other. If somebody has desire for someone, to desire is a different matter. Once jilbab is there, jilbab makes people eligible. Like for example, men are not allowed to wear silk cloth because you can make arrogant. So they should avoid that. But if they are having rough cloth, like my cloth, but still they get arrogance, then rules are different. Then I'm not even allowed to use this one. When arrogance comes, even simple cloth, for example, maybe woolen cloth, Sufi cloth, I wear Sufi cloth, so people think I'm Sufi. If I do like that, then I become arrogant. Then I'm not allowed, you know, to wear even that. So when desire comes, rules change. Certainly you find in the books of the history that sometimes the word hijab, every time the word hijab comes in the history for the women or for the men, it always comes in the context of private space. When women are in private space, like in their own houses, then women are not obliged by the law to put jilbab. When women are not in jilbab, they are in their normal clothes. Normal clothes of the women are attractive. They are meant to be attractive. They are colorful. And sometimes they're shorter. They cannot cover properly. But in the family, they're fine. So when women are in private space, then men are not allowed to enter upon them without permission. And if the men come to learn, they have to be behind the hijab. That's why the Quran says, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. If you come to the wives of the Prophet and ask anything, ask from behind the curtain. So hijab basically is for the men. Men are not allowed to interfere in women's private space. So whenever class used to happen in the houses of the women, then women teachers used to be there, and their maharim, their relatives, and also female students in front of them. But male students who are not mahram, they used to sit behind the curtain. So when women use private space, then there's a barrier. When women use public space, there's no single barrier, neither in the mosque of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not is haram, not anywhere. If you want to understand how it works, you know, you can look at tawaf. What tawaf is, tell me. Isn't tawaf public place? Tawaf is a public thing. In tawaf, does Islam make effort to separate men and women? Is there any barrier between men and women in tawaf? Tell me really, is any mixing in the world more than mixing of tawaf? Like in this classroom, you know, people are together. Are you mixing like tawaf? Is it possible for you in these days, even in normal tawaf, not in Hajj and Ramadan, even these days if you go really, is it possible for any man to do tawaf without being pushed by a woman? Or is it possible for any woman to do tawaf without being pushed by a man? Is it possible? No. And I always narrate this story because this story actually explains so clearly. It is one of my friends in Medina Munawwara. When you go there, so you meet him, inshallah, he'll be introduced with many sheikh from a very noble family, Ahmad Ashur. He's a Shafi'i. So he mentioned to me a story of one of his Shafi'i friends. He said, in Hanafi Madhab, you know, certainly if men are touched by women, women by men, nothing happens. In Hanafi madhab, wudu is wudu, not broken. In Shafi madhab, by touching, wudu is broken. You know, if man is touched by woman, then wudu are both are broken. In tawaf, you know, it's always touching. Then basically you never can do any tawaf. So now Shafi fuqaha has given fatwa that in tawaf, if men and women are touched, their wudu continues. Fatwa is in Hanafi madhab. They have given fatwa to Hanafi madhab. So you can, because otherwise, you imagine tawaf al-ifada. You know, the fard tawaf, you know, so many people, if you do one shawt and you're touched by a woman, then you go to do wudu again. It will take you 2-3 hours to do wudu. And then come back and next shawt, again you're touched, again wudu broken. Then we can do tawaf. Do you see? Hanafi madhab sometimes can help people. So, you know, people should think Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala, he anticipated what is going to happen in the world. But this Shafi friend, he said, no, I am strict Shafi. Like many Hanafis are very strict. So he's very strict. He said, no, I am not going to follow Hanafi madhab. I am just, you know, Shafi all the time. What he did, he puts on gloves. So no woman can touch. He never can be touched by any woman. So he did tawaf, and nobody can touch because, you know, covered properly. And then he said, I was in the sixth round. An Egyptian old lady came to me and said, oh, you want to do tawaf like Shafi madhab? And then she put her hand on my forehead. Tell me, now what you can do? So, you know, think really. There's nothing like people actually all the time, they say, barrier. You know, tawaf is a thing where there's no barrier. Barrier is unimaginable. People cannot do, no faqih said there's barrier possible. If there's no barrier in tawaf, why you want barrier in prayer? Tell me really. In prayer, nobody mixes. In prayer, women's robe be at that anyway. No mixing. In the classroom, nobody's going to mix. People said, even men don't mix like that. People, you know, sit properly. So we don't have any record in the history or in the hadith that, you know, actually even in the prayer, Hanafi madhab is more strict. Even Hanafi madhab, if a woman prays next to a man, nothing happens. Hanafi people only say, if men and women both pray the same prayer, behind the same imam, if a woman stands next to man, then man's prayer becomes invalid. But if they're praying two different prayers and they're next to each other, nothing happens in Hanafi madhab. For example, if I'm praying Dhuhr and a woman comes and prays next to me Asr, or I'm praying Sunnah, she prays Nafl, nothing happens even in Hanafi madhab. So, you know, being next to each other doesn't make any difference, you know, even in Hanafi madhab. So in classroom, it's not prayer anyway, nothing happens. In Hanafi madhab, the only problem happens in the prayer. If it is the same prayer behind the same imam, and both are following the same imam, then if a woman stands next to a man, then the prayer of the man becomes invalid, not woman. But even Hanafi people say, if it is a big gathering like Jummah or Eid prayer, a woman has no place and she comes and stands next to imam, tell me what will happen. If Hanafi people say imam's prayer becomes invalid, then basically the whole prayer becomes invalid. Then they say they do istihsan, they allow. You know, because to other madhabar, it is only makruh, does not become invalid. But even Hanafi madhab is exception. To try to understand this matter properly, people don't understand. People don't realize the difference between public space and private space. It is very important to understand Islam. Public space, everybody is allowed to use it. Anybody can come on the road. You know, you cannot, believers, unbelievers, good people, pious people, everybody can use it properly.